Doctor, I have an exciting announcement for our amazing listeners. PRN has a new voicemail line that will allow you to connect better with our hosts. If you can't listen live but have a question or comment for one of our hosts, just call 862-800-6805.
Appropriately titled Crisis. That's Art Blakey and the Jazz Messengers. This is a recording that was remastered in 2005. Blakey's on drums, Jimmy Merritt on bass, Cedar Walton on piano, Wayne Shorter on tenor sax, Curtis Fuller on trombone, and Freddie Hubbard on trumpet. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're going to try a little something different today because my normal connection is acting up for some reason, and so our trusty engineer is trying to splice me in another way. So we'll go, you know, it's like the coronavirus. We have to keep going. As long as we have life, you keep going. That's really what we have to do. What I wanted to talk about today was something that people in these times, in this moment in time, think is really not important. It's trivial. And the admonition is, come on, get over with this and get on with life. And this concerns the just concluded presidential primaries in at least three states. I'm not counting any others at this time, but Florida and, let me see, here are my notes. We have Florida, we have, and this is the other part, I can't read my notes. It is a terrible thing getting old. Florida, I'll find it in my notes in a minute. I have to do these things now far more frequently than I used to, which is to make sure I write things down. Florida, Arizona, and Illinois, of course. Okay. The prevailing view seems to be that Bernie Sanders ought to get over it. He lost. He put up a good fight. But, you know, he lost. Get over it. and move on. In fact, a rather self-absorbed writer for the New York Times, isn't that redundant, by the way? But anyway, she writes yesterday in her column, "Well played, Bernie Sanders, but for the sake of the Democratic Party and the nation, it's time to step aside and join forces with Joe Biden." Everybody is an expert and entitled to lay down the law. Look, you're a reporter. Just report it and go about your business. You have no reason to be telling people what to do, especially when there are so many very important questions that have gone unanswered in these primary races. Now, it may be trivial and unimportant to you, but in the larger scheme of things, if your ego could allow it, look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture that's being seen by a lot of people, millions of people, is that there's something wrong here. And it must be looked into and, if necessary, of course, because of what an investigation should show, it should be corrected, it should be addressed. And I'm referring to the fact that it's not just that Bernie lost. He's a grown man. He's been in politics for umpteen years. He knows what the deal is. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. But not when there are so many unanswered questions floating around. And these are the questions that really shaped the contest. And these are legitimate questions. Did Bernie Sanders legitimately lose these primaries? Or were there unseen hands that engineered the outcome? And now people are following up in various circles of influence, saying, "Get over it." Well, I would suggest you get over it. It's not your job to tell people what to do. You're not the appointed constitutional observer here. And you, these people in the media who are saying to Bernie, "Get out. You ran, you put up a good fight," but this is the theme of their argument. You ran a good race, but you lost. So put on your big boy pants and get out of here. I say we need to stay with this matter quite a bit longer until we get some answers, because it's just not making sense. Here's Bernie, and I'm not a Bernie, I'm not taking up the mantle for Bernie Sanders. What I am taking up the mantle for is fairness in elections. Because my gut feeling tells me that there ought to be an investigation into this race. Sanders had been winning mightily. He has a very large political base. That's not to say he's guaranteed to win, but that is the pattern that had been established. You know, when people are following, or they have established a certain pattern, when they move away from that pattern, you get troubled. You say something is wrong. And it is the kind of something that, in my view, warrants further investigation. He loses all three states just like that. I mean, let's even go to that length and say, okay, that's possible. It's not impossible that Bernie Sanders could lose a race in a state. But the pattern was that, in fact, he was building momentum. And all of a sudden, to be stopped dead in his tracks by Joe Biden, who didn't have a life, not a political chance in hell of winning anything until he got that jolt of energy from black voters in South Carolina. And he quickly forgot how he got it. And a lot of people did too, especially the Democratic Party hierarchy. They seem to have forgotten that this was the guy they chose long ago. This was supposed to be their guy to win the election against Trump. It wasn't working. Joe Biden had no hope. He was one of the walking dead. He had no future in this round of elections. Along comes James Clyburn, and of course, Clyburn cooperating with Nancy Pelosi and other leaders of the Democratic Party, who said to themselves, I'm sure, in a wonderful little meeting, closed-door meeting, Joe wants to run. It makes sense that he should win. Let's make sure that he wins. And they made sure he won. In all these primaries and so forth, they made sure that he came through, but not before being trounced by Bernie Sanders, like the horse coming from behind in this race. He was that kind of candidate. And he made some impressive strides. He won. His was not the luxurious kind of campaign where there's unending money and all kinds of donations coming in. No, it was a people's movement. And on the basis of that, he got tremendous support, and it catapulted him into the arena of victory. Okay, so now comes, after he had served notice to Joe Biden and the Democrats, the party itself, the party leadership, he won the first round of Super Tuesday, hands down. Now comes the second round with just three states. And by then, Biden himself had picked up speed, because now he's alive. They invigorated him. They breathed life into him and made it possible for him to have a candidacy. And now comes the news that Bernie Sanders lost all three states, Arizona, Florida, Illinois. It's not that it couldn't happen or could not have happened. It is just that you have a feeling that something dramatic went wrong here and produced a predictable result, that being that Sanders should lose. Because essentially it was a two-man race in these three states. And the spoils were very, very much worth fighting for. Because now the party is getting close to naming its standard bearer, while Sanders is gaining ground, and their candidate, Joe Biden, is just trying to stand up straight. He's been wobbling all over the place. But that injection of black votes that basically made him legitimate. I'm not saying he wasn't legitimate, but I mean legitimate in the sense of being a contender. That also began to happen, and it appeared that the Democratic Party establishment was not about to gamble on this one. Biden had picked up speed. The race itself had picked up speed. But remember, so long ago, I said that when the issue of the hearings came up, I said, it's so clear. It's so clear what this is all about. Push Biden through. Push him through. He is the guy that the Democratic Party establishment had selected. And so he had to prevail. Whatever it took, he had to prevail. And we woke up the day after the mini Super Tuesday in Arizona, Florida, and Illinois, and we find that not one of the states went to Bernie Sanders. Wow, what a dramatic change. What a dramatic turn of events. And our natural instinct should be, this is unusual. You don't have to accuse anybody, but it is enough to say, this is most unusual. Sanders is, as I said, a seasoned politician. He knows he could lose races and win races. All politicians know the possibility that you go into a race and you think you're well situated, and boom, the sledgehammer hits you and you lose your race. It happens. But not like this. This is most unusual. Okay. On top of this, we have some contributing factors that cannot be ignored. We had the coronavirus creating all kinds of havoc, keeping people away from the polls, and terrifying people, making them resist going anywhere where there are going to be crowds. Voting, that's one of the things that they would resist. Is voting for Bernie Sanders worth my life? Worth me contracting coronavirus? No, I'll just stay home. That's a major, major issue, especially since it was expected to hit. And especially because, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. If people are going to be scared to come out, you knew, I'm talking about the organizers of political races, you knew that the turnout would be affected, negatively affected. But the calculation was that even if it were negatively affected, Biden would still win. See, they weren't playing fair. So I believe that what's in order, and it should be pressed for, it insisted upon, and insisted upon by on the part of the Democratic Party establishment as a whole. Why didn't you cancel the race? Postpone it for another day and time when things looked a little better and people would not be as concerned. Well, I shouldn't say they're not going to be as concerned. People will not be as apprehensive about voting and being in crowds and so forth. What would have been so egregious about that? They didn't consider, not even consider, postponing these races so that the matter of the swift spread of the coronavirus would have been addressed and fears would have been, you know, allayed. They went ahead. In fact, that was one of the things I suppose they capitalized on, a lower, much lower voter turnout, which meant that Joe Biden would have had a better shot at winning. So for that alone, we have some questions to ask. We have to ask the state election authority. We have to ask specifically the party itself. Did no one propose that the election be put off until the situation looked safe enough that people would not get apprehensive about voting? Was it fair to Bernie Sanders and even to Joe Biden? Was it fair to have an election, to proceed with an election under those circumstances? Things were being locked down, hours were being restricted, all kinds of things were being done to minimize the impact of or possible impact of the coronavirus. But you're going ahead in three states with your elections, and you know it's about crowd control. This was the issue, but you went ahead and did it. Did somebody have in mind that that would be exactly the conditions under which to put into play a plan to affect the outcome of the elections? Now, you could say I'm, you know, doddering and losing several of my brain cells minute by minute, but it's a serious question. Was there an intention to produce a desired result? And they produced it. And they did so in a manner that would not raise suspicion. But I go back to Bernie Sanders' immediate record before these primaries. And he was building steam. He was winning like crazy. Biden was scared. And the political establishment was also scared. Because remember, they committed some time ago that in this cycle of elections, Joe Biden has got to be the guy to win. That's their guy. They made it clear early on. We are with Biden. It is not accidental that those who have gotten out of the race, including Tulsi Gabbard, who quit yesterday of Hawaii, she's endorsing Joe Biden. We have a whole slew of people endorsing Joe Biden, Andrew Yang. We have quite a few who once had discontinued the race. Biden is the guy. So Biden is the guy. So now I'm suggesting that there be an investigation. Was this a free and fair election? Did it have to happen on that day under those conditions, knowing that those conditions would directly impact and negatively impact the candidacy of Bernie Sanders? I don't know why it is that every time I come to his name, it doesn't happen with anybody else. I have to think and think and think. Should I say Sanders or Saunders? Sanders. It's Sanders. Okay, I know that. But let's get back to the issue. This is a very serious question. We're talking about possible tampering. We're talking about possible engineering of the vote. We're talking about possible abrogation of the Constitution and the right to vote and the integrity of the vote and so on and so forth. But immediately, almost immediately, I should say, after it was declared that Sanders lost all three states, and we have victory, apparent victory on the part of Joe Biden. And that's exactly the way some people want it. So why is there not an investigation into that? Why is there not an investigation to that? Why shouldn't there be an investigation? Just to assure that Bernie Sanders lost fair and square. No irregularities, no suspicions about what happened, that it was a legitimate race in every aspect, and it was just one of those things. The better guy won. People could live with that. Disappointing as it may be to some. However, the main issue is guaranteeing the integrity of the elections. And there are many people who haven't said it out loud, but many people I know have said it out loud, that this is, it doesn't smell right. And it should be looked into. The Democratic Party isn't asking for that. And they should be number one on the list to assure people that this was legally conducted, these were legally conducted elections in these three states. And in each instance, Joe Biden had the extraordinary luck of winning because he put in more work than Sanders. And it showed in his victory. I could accept that. I can't accept, though, Sanders' loss in three states with all of these factors weighing in on the election itself, and it doesn't cause anybody to say, well, wait a minute. Was this fair and square? Did this thing go the right way? Let's take a look, a closer look. I'm going to take a break right now. I'm sure you're relieved. And we'll come back to the subject right after this musical interlude. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about this election in which Joe Biden totally and properly won. That's what they're telling us. But, you know, I've been around long enough to know that there are some things that just don't make sense, and they should be looked into. And then you see that the party that has an overarching responsibility to confirm that this was a race that went by the book in all respects, and therefore the outcome has to be accepted as true and as correct. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Eutrice, is that me?
Yes, but I can't hear you too well.
Hi. I am.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay. So I'd like to take issue with two premises that you have posed to us today. Number one is that we've had an election, and I would argue that this is not an election. It is a party primary where the party is determining who the party would like to have as their nominee to stand for election in November. The second thing is you listed a number of things that should be checked and questions that should be asked. And I would counter by asking you to take a look at Bernie Sanders himself, where Bernie Sanders, just like Jesse Jackson, had the opportunity and the people behind him to actually stand up and fight back against the party. And just like Jesse Jackson, Bernie Sanders refused to do so in 2016. And so with that kind of history, I would say Bernie Sanders is not going to stand up and fight back. So the question that you're asking today about an investigation, Bernie Sanders should be the first one to stand up and say, hey, there's a rat in the room and something doesn't smell right. But he's not going to do that.
Okay. So you're beating up on a possible victim of a crime, okay? How does that feel?
Well,
it is not, whether he chooses to do it or chooses not to do it, we are the people. And we have possibly witnessed something untoward in this election. And it is an election. However you choose to put it, when people are asked to come out, people who are members of the party are asked to come out and vote. They're asked to vote. This is a serious matter. Like any other vote, it should be safeguarded and protected. So there is an interest, I should think, on the part of people who are in the party or members of the party, and people like me who are not. I'm not a member of the party. And yet this interests me greatly because we're talking about the principle and the philosophy that governs what we consider one of the highest forms of democracy, which is voting. So whether you're a member of the party or you're not, you should have an interest in it.
I agree with you at a very high level, but I think that it's important that we look at the details, and I know that you like to look at the details. Number one is the details. The rules in the primary are different from the rules in the general election. The primary.
Yeah, but I'm not arguing about the rules. I am not arguing about
the rules. Let me finish the point. The rules are important because the rules state that the primary process, the governance process, is controlled by the party. You don't have a state authority or a federal authority who jumps in the middle or at least sets the guidelines up front and said, these are the rules you are to operate by. And we saw the Democratic Party changing the rules midstream several times to allow Mike Bloomberg to jump into the race, to eliminate Tulsi Gabbard and other voices who might have had something interesting to say, to see to it that they were silenced. And they did that by rule. And so
they didn't do that by rule. There's no rule that says that, they want to eliminate this person and they look it up and see the statute and so forth and they go, okay, we could do it because the statute says, gives us permission to do that. That's not how this party operates or historically has operated. Republican Party also.
You're jumping into a different pool here because historically.
No, the point is that you're taking this. I'm on the straight and narrow path in terms of my argument. Did something happen here that needs to be looked into? I say yes.
I agree.
Okay, so let's get it looked into.
Well, but the point is, A, who has standing to look? And B, how are you going to look?
We all do. That's my point. You're not getting that.
I do. But what I'm saying is,
member of the party, you don't have to be a card-carrying Democrat. You only have to be concerned that of the possibility that constitutionally this didn't go the right way, because it affects everybody. It affected the outcome in that we have Biden winning all three states. I'm not suggesting that he was not supposed to win all three states, but I'm saying let us ascertain whether Bernie Sanders, in one way or the other, was negatively impacted by all these different factors coming together to form a perfect storm that penalized him for no reason. It wasn't that he was a bad candidate. It wasn't that he didn't run a good campaign. But we had the the virus going around making a huge impact. That was not his decision. It was a state decision.
I don't see these rotten democratic activities as being any different from the state Democratic Party of New York, for example, who limits ballot access.
This was not an election in the state of New York.
Understood, but I'm drawing an analogy.
So then let's not make leaps and invent parallels where they don't exist. Let's talk about what happened.
Is that, you know, it's not just that you have one rotten fish in a barrel of fish. We've got a rotten barrel of fish. And
yeah,
the point that I'm making...
Point. That is not our... That is not the charge here. Where what is being asked for is a blanket, a whole new set of investigations based on the same thing. No.
That's not what I'm asking.
There's reason. Yes, you're asking that we appreciate the parallels, and therefore we should not be as concerned about the outcome because, after all, it happened here, it happened there, and it's the same Democratic Party, et cetera, et cetera. I'm saying...
That's not what I said at all, and that's certainly not what I meant. What I am saying is that something strange has happened. Something strange did happen to Bernie Sanders in his campaign this year, 2019 and 2020, through this election cycle, this primary cycle, I should say. And what I am saying is, number one, Bernie Sanders is the one who has standing to, number one, complain, and number two, take actual
action. I think you're wrong, very wrong there. Bernie Sanders isn't the only one who has standing. Everybody affected has standing. Everybody. This is about the people vote.
Have to do something that is actionable.
Now, I believe you are correct there to say we look to signals from Bernie Sanders that he too believes that he was wrong, possibly wrong, and that he too would like to see an investigation. We look to him to make that move. But that doesn't stop us. The people, the voters, the people who were directly impacted from moving ahead. That's their charge, because they will be protecting a right that all citizens should enjoy. Free and fair elections without manipulation and without people determining the outcome and making it so. You make some good points, and I appreciate it. Thank you so much for calling in and getting us started. Okay, let's see. You're up next. I can't see your name. I'm sorry for today. Tomorrow I can see you. But you're
Hello?
On the air.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
You.
Okay, beloved family, you, Trish, you really got this one. Okay? It's right on the head. It's so obvious. And we are talking about criminal activity. I mean, can you imagine in the middle of this a pandemic to hold voting for people to come out in crowds? And in Chicago, they use 50 sites in low-income senior buildings in the black community. You see, this is criminal activity. And it's just so obvious. There's someone who charts how they actually cheat and manipulate the elections and who owns the software. So all of this has to change. And, you know, the idea, that I think it's Oregon and Colorado, and at least, that have voting by mail. You know, so that's how they do their voting, by mail. So to ask people to come out in big crowds around each other, fatigued on long lines, is a murder scheme. It really, really is. I agree, and it's us, because they put Bernie in a position that, you know, once he moves to say there's something rotten here, then they're all going to come down and say you're coming with disunity and blah. So you're right, it's on us, you know. But it reminds me of what they do under the so-called conservatorship, guardianship system, to take assets and apartments and homes. It's like they affect murder under the guise of care and law. And there's a lot of books that document that too.
I agree with the point that you reinforced here, which is, this isn't just Bernie Sanders' job. He was running for office. This is about challenging and making sure that the procedures were followed, that nothing went wrong that would have in any way given cause for people to believe that something was wrong. It was something was the outcome was orchestrated, the election was interfered with. That is our job. And I'm surprised that Bernie's people haven't made a move yet.
Yes, because even in the exit polls, it's like the opinions were saying they wanted Medicare for all, as is phrased. And this all, I won't go on, but this also relates to the irony of this coronavirus. I mean, the world can be strange and intriguing, because it's like the whole idea of the inequality in the society, and so increasingly so. And now the whole idea is that we have to be in it all together, or else we all could perish. And that's just, to me, such an irony in all this, the criminality and what. So there's some reset going on, isn't
it? Well, thank you, Mott, for your call today. 888-874-4888. Hello, you're on the air. I don't see your name, but you're on the air.
Are you Treese?
Yes. Yes.
Hi, Treese. It's Gwen. Sorry, you can't identify us as you see us. First of all, thank you so much for your introduction. It was perfect, and it really spoke to the outrage that is inside of so many of us. And I believe that you are right, but I also believe that I am right. I believe that I am not crazy. I believe these are not coincidences, and I certainly don't have any faith in the Democratic Party. I've lost faith, as a matter of fact. It's even lower than it was the last time, because this time it was so blatant in your face, the way that every single news station refused to speak about him, even after he won the states he won, and the fact that now they're going ahead with the, I actually thought if they were going ahead with these elections yesterday, one of the things that I thought was Joe Biden wouldn't win, because the people that are most vulnerable to getting this virus are older people, not the younger people. So it just seems really strange to me that I don't see diehard Joe Biden fans. I see diehard Bernie Sanders fans. I mean, they're in it. They have skin in the game. because most of the people that are voting for Bernie have done something to help the campaign along. This really is a people's campaign, and people have spent money, and they have spent their time and their feet to make sure their candidate gets in there. And so Joe Biden was as boring as a glass of water. And there are old people, many, many older people that, you know, won't go out of the house for anything right now. I just find it really hard to believe that they, you know, got up and they the most important thing yesterday was to go and vote for Joe Biden, because Bernie was such a threat, especially when all these exit polls have said they want Medicare for all. Well, do people want Medicare for all, but they just don't want Bernie? I don't understand that. I don't understand how you could be hearing that argument, Medicare for all, and the person that's been the person pushing it, you absolutely do not want him. But you're sure that Joe Biden is going to give it to you because, what, he voted against Medicare for all in the past, or at least the cuts for Social Security, for Medicare, for Medicaid, and for other social programs. He voted against them. They were all on the table. He voted against people being bused from different neighborhoods that were black, for children to be bused. He voted against, he basically led the way for Clarence Thomas to get in. He has plagiarized at least three different speeches in the past to try to run, and to the point where he was actually tossed out of the campaign in the 1980s when he was trying to run for the president. This guy is not an honest man, but it's not about him. And I really, really strongly disagree with your first caller saying that Bernie Sanders should get out there by himself. He has already been out there by himself. The entire Democratic Party is what he went up against. He also went up against the Republicans. He also has gone up against the establishment. I mean, for anything else, we should be getting our asses out there and helping him, because he has done so much for us in raising the issues. These issues that hurt us every day, these issues that have taken away from us, he's raised them. He's made people pay attention to them. In fact, he is the leader of the Democratic Party, because no other leader could have put these issues out there and even got them on the table, but he did. And every single one of those people behind him tried to steal or manipulate his ideas or turn them into their own, and now they're all out there saying that they're behind Joe Biden. Do you really think there's any coincidences? And I want to say one more thing. You know, I go to a hairdresser where a lot of politicians go, and I remember the day before the vote in South Carolina that somebody came in, and her this person's family member used to be the speaker of the city council. And it's just like she told me when I wasn't going to win the city council race. She was so certain of it, 100% certain, as if she just read it from a playbook, and she said the same thing. You know he's not going to win. You know he's not going to win. This is a man that just came off of a three-state win, but she was positive. And you know why she was positive? Because she's inside of the party, and they could make sure that things like this happen.
Before we close out, I just want to ask you this before we close out today. What do you attribute to what seems to be a lack of response by the Sanders voters?
I don't think there's a lack of response. I think there's a lack of seeing it on your TV screen. You can't only see the response if you're tied into social media, because that's the only place where you can see how everybody's responding. But try getting a response from somebody like me on CNN. Or CNBC. You can't even get the candidate on there. Do you think that they're going to put me on there? Do you think they would put a protest on there? Do you think they would do anything to give this man a second of airtime that they didn't have to? Hell, even after he won the election, they weren't even willing to play that. They played the first runner-up, then they played the second runner-up, and then they gave Bernie Sanders 30 seconds. This is an amazing win this guy pulled off. He's got $46 million in the bank from people like me. They're sending $27 out of their paychecks each week. This is an amazing feat this guy has done. And this is an amazing thing that's about to happen.
We have to close out. I'm so sorry. We're out of time. However, tomorrow is another day. You're welcome. Tomorrow is another day, and we can continue the conversation then. Please be part of it. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks even more for contributing. And we'll see each other tomorrow and talk about this again. Bye-bye.